Now, health officials say children in the UK are eating an entire childhood's worth of sugar by the time they are 10 years old. That equates to 13 cubes a day, which experts say is 8 too many. Now, Public Health England has released data gathered from households across the UK and is urging families to make simple changes to cut down on sugar. But a lot of us know the dangers of sugar, and we're quite aware sometimes of the content in some of the food that we are eating, but we still decide to pay for it, to buy it and to feed it to our families. The question is now, should we really start looking at introducing what some have dubbed a pudding tax? I spoke to commentators Dave Atherton and Emma Wolfe.
Well, I wouldn't actually stop at a tax. I'd happily support a complete ban. You know, the targets are absolutely pathetic, that we're going to reduce sugar content in children's food, in puddings, drinks, sweets, cakes, biscuits, by 20%. And at the moment, we've achieved about 2%. Why not cut it by 50%? The point is, children do not need this kind of... There's no reason for this kind of sugar content to be so high. The only reason is for the food industry, for the sugar industry, and for the big manufacturers to get children even more addicted. It doesn't improve flavour. It's empty calories. It's junk. It's nutritional junk calories with no nutritional content. And we know that if you reduce sugar and salt and fat, by the way, but we're talking about sugar, if you reduce sugar... people adjust. They absolutely adjust, especially young children whose taste buds are very, very adaptable. It's disgusting that UK children are eating 52 grams of sugar a day. 52 grams of sugar.
Children rely on their parents to provide nutritious food for them. So it's the parents that are making the choice in most of the circumstances for kids. So should you reduce and remove everything that is bad for kids?
But fat is not all bad. The difference is...
And neither is sugar.
There's no nutritional requirement for sugar, whereas healthy fats are very good for you. And we all need fat in our diets, absolutely, for healthy skin, healthy hair, and especially children. Children should be drinking full-fat milk, for example. Whereas there's absolutely no reason for these levels. I'm not saying all sugar, but for these levels of sugar in children's food, specifically things like cereal and yogurt that parents believe are healthy options. You know, they think they're being virtuous. They think they're encouraging their children to eat healthy foods for breakfast, for example, and they're going to school, you know, high as a kite on sugar.
Well, Dave, there you go. At 13 sugar cubes a day, experts say it is 8 too many. And as Emma said, sugar doesn't really have much of a nutritional, if any, value for anyone.
Well, first of all, let's put the sugar one to bed. It's full of carbohydrates, and you need carbohydrates for energy. You know, it's one of the things that professional sports people do, is fill up on carbs before and after doing sports. So, and sugar is one of the forms of doing that. And, you know, this is the most appalling imposition on the freedom of the individual and freedom of parents to make decisions on behalf of their children outside of the state. We've got unelected bureaucrats telling us how to live our lives. And let me also add some very, very good facts here as well. First of all, there's been no increase in child obesity since 2004, 2005. In fact, if anything, it's gone down. The amount of sugar that the average person and the average child consumes since 1961 has gone down substantially. And the only reason that we're getting all these arbitrary figures is because all the bureaucrats and the civil servants in Public Health for England and all the other places have arbitrarily changed the limits for sugar consumption. There is no evidence that the kids are actually suffering because of the current situation.
So you don't believe that children are suffering
if they are
overweight, if they are obese, if they have an issue in terms of their diet and the sugar content in them?
It's a moral panic based on non-facts.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Dave, you're an intelligent man, and I would have thought that you would understand the difference between a high-performance elite athlete consuming carbohydrates, high sugar before, you know, for massive athletic performance, and the difference between that and a child. Of course,
a sportsman
needs sugar for fast release energy. A child doesn't need that at all. A child should, of course, be consuming carbohydrates in the form of wholemeal bread, for example, but empty sugar is completely not required nutritionally. You know that.
Well,
you can see the difference.
Well, no. Is it our basic fact that...
Hold on.
One at a time. So, Emma, you've made your point. Dave, come back.
Right, OK, fine. So, you know, is not what not a basic fact of life that kids are far more energetic than adults? They're running around playgrounds, they're running for buses, they're running for trains.
That's the problem. They're not. Physical levels of activity are at an all-time low, and we know that. When we were young, we did run around, and now children are indoors on their smartphones, on their tablets, watching whatever. That's the point. The physical levels, the closure of school playgrounds, all of that stuff has actually meant there's a massive increase.
Are there not already a lot of healthy options out there for parents to make for their children, or indeed children for themselves?
Okay, well, firstly, children don't do the shopping, and secondly...
No, but kids do go, and kids will go and buy stuff for themselves to eat sometimes, you know, and we're not talking about very young kids.
And they don't.
But my point is, there is still healthy options out there. There have always been.
Yeah, there are. Of course there are. But my point is that those healthier options are often full of sugar. It says something like low fat or light, and you believe, oh, right, it's low fat, therefore it's healthy.
Emma, you know the point I'm trying to make. There are options out there. For example, we talked about cereal. Some cereals have got a lot of sugar. Not all, some. You could say, well, why do they not just feed their kids? Hold on a second. No, why don't they just give their kids, for example, porridge?
Well, maybe it takes longer to make. Maybe you know about Pesto Power. You know how children want the one that everyone else is eating. They want the one.
True. And when I was a kid, I didn't want to eat cabbage, and I wanted Skeletrix every day, and I didn't want to go to school. But you don't do what you want when you're a kid. That's a reason you have parental supervision, because adults are meant to help and educate and guide you through. It is easier said than done.
I agree with you, but you've just said that children do make choices. Well, frankly, when I was a child, I didn't make a choice between a banana and a chocolate bar. I would go for the chocolate bar. So my point is that we need to make... Well, you know, the point is sugar does not need to be this high, Vinny. That's the fundamental point.
Yeah, but my point is, if that chocolate bar was not in the house, Emma, I know what you're saying. Kids are going to probably pick the option they shouldn't. But that's why you have parents. Parents make the choice. That they know what is healthy. They know what is not. And we're not talking about the hidden sugars here at this point. So, you know, if that chocolate bar is not in the house because your mum hasn't bought it, then you can't eat it.
Look, I agree with you. Of course, parents should be making healthier choices too, but I'm not here to, you know, beat up on parents. Point is, the big manufacturers and the government have a very, very important part to play, and they need to take action.
Emma, let me ask you a question. Where do you think parents and children have the right to say that the state isn't doing... The reason I'm fat is because the state isn't doing enough.
Where do I what?
But where do you think the limit is where parents and children can turn around and say, bureaucrats and the politicians aren't doing enough. The reason I'm fat and overweight is because the state isn't doing enough. Where do you think that line is?
No, you can't be exact about this stuff. And the point is, Dave, there is no ban on actually buying sugar. So, like, if you want to go and buy bags of sugar and just pour it all over your food, of course that's never going to be banned, right?
That's exactly what I do. I sprinkle sugar on my cornflakes.
You can do that.
I did that when I was a child.
But you can do that. But I'm saying that shop-bought food, salads, sandwiches, all of these foods that have really shockingly high levels of sugar and salt and fat in shouldn't be prepared like that. They don't need to be. They are targeted at and marketed to children, and that is not healthy, necessary.
It's not the reason they're bought. It's because they companies spend a lot of money looking into the reasons people buy food. And the ones with the sugar is the one that is bought the most.
Because it's very addictive. We know that. We all know that. I'm not saying I'm better than other people. I'm just saying let's make it easier for people.
By taxing them all? If you're a single mother on universal credit and you've got to pay more for your cereal, then
you go for the choices that aren't taxed so highly, don't you?
The fact, Dave, is that many of us know that sugar is not good for ourselves or for our children. But many of us can read the nutritional content on the back of whatever we've bought.
But the
point I'm trying to make, Dave, is we still make the choice to buy it and let our child eat it. And therefore, that can lead to health issues. So if you don't try and increase the price to put people off it, what do you do? We know what the issues are. We're ignoring them.
The point is, for example, take an example like myself. I'm 2 stone overweight. I don't blame that on anybody else apart from me. And when my kids were growing up, if they were getting a little bit fatter, I'd take them around the park and let them work it off amongst themselves. So this is my responsibility, nobody else's. And when you start interfering in the family and you start interfering with the choices of people out there, that is a line that should not be crossed.
But the issue then, you say it's your responsibility, it's down to you, it's you, it's your family. Then you go, for example, some stats that were released a few weeks ago. Now, this is based on an NHS Commission survey. 64% of adults were overweight or obese that were caught up in that survey. Now, you might say, well, that's their doing. But what about the pressure then that puts on the likes of the NHS, the services that then come behind?
What about things like type 2 diabetes? What about cancer? What about all the other issues? What about teeth decay? I mean, tooth decay amongst children. This stuff matters. This isn't just, it's not on just for Dave to say, oh, well, it's my problem. Yeah, it's his problem. He's a grown-up.
Emma, I'm a free marketeer. I'm a free marketeer.
I don't know anything about free market.
Let's let him respond, Dave.
Yeah, I know. I'm a free marketeer. And if the government wants to give me the choice of paying directly into the National Health Service or paying into my own private health insurance plan, I don't pay any more taxes to the National Health Service, that's fine. But then my health will literally become my own responsibility. Again, I know people who swear by their private health insurance and use it most for their children. So they are amongst the most seen the quickest, they're dealt with most quickly at a medical level. They're the people who are showing, if you like, the most love for their children, but by electing but only pay National Health Service taxes.
I can't believe you're talking about private health insurance. You're so far out of understanding the levels of obesity amongst lower economic...
And also,
can I just say one thing? In studies, rat studies have found that sugar is more addictive than heroin. So there.
We will have to leave it at that this morning for both of you. Thank you very much, though. 0303 80 55 55. What do you think? You've heard from Emma Wolfe and Dave Atherton there. A pudding tax, some people are describing this as. Is it something that you would welcome if it did help to curb the issue with obesity? Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. What do you think?
I think this is my opinion, and I mean everybody else is entitled to their own opinion, right or wrong, no matter what. And I think it's a total outrage and disgrace that the kids are growing up now nearly being obese and that there, because their parents are feeding them all the junk food of the day. You watch them going shopping and whatnot else, and the young parents are buying big bottles of Coke. You're talking about five or six big bottles of Coke, maybe in a trolley. And if you give a child Coke, no matter what age they are, that brings them to be hyper. They're not getting proper meals. They're getting takeaways, carryouts, this, that and the other of KFC, chips, Chinese.
Do you think it's a generational thing then, Margaret? Because
it is a generational thing for me, because in my time, I mean, I've lived over a half a century. I'm 65 years old. And I mean, in our time, we didn't get the things that the kids are getting nowadays. We had to take the like of porridge. We're queued up in the mornings for the like of a spoonful of milk, which you turned your nose up, but you had to take it.
But when you were younger, and I don't mean this to sound cheeky, but were things like that as common? Would it have been common to have takeaways available, to have fizzy drinks full of sugar there for you?
No. There was the like a Coke and all now, you know, from the chippies, the real, you know, glass bottles of Coke. Which my daddy used to, if my daddy went out of a weekend, you know, we were put to bed at 7:30, dead on the dot. But we always looked on a Friday coming, because that was our special treat that we got. And you're talking about a chip between six of us, a chip, and two or three wee bottles of Coke divided between us. And we waited till he came back. He didn't stay out too late.
So you did have fizzy drinks and takeaways.
We did. Because one of the issues now,
Margaret, is that...
We only got less than a wee glass of Coke, Vinny, because there were only three wee bottles.
Other fizzy drinks are available. I can tell which is your favourite, Margaret. But sometimes the issue... Sometimes the issue now is that the fast food and the food that's not great for you can be cheaper than the stuff that is, the healthy option.
Well, that's true. But at the end of the day, I mean, I've found out now that I'm a diabetic myself.
Right.
And, I mean, I have totally cut down. I used to be able to eat a big plate full of supper, but now I'm down to a small portion because I'm on statins and metformin.
And was it your diet, do you think, that made you a diabetic?
Yes, yes, definitely.
And what kind of things? What kind of things were you eating?
I was eating like a jam donuts. I was eating, you know, them donuts are long and they've got fresh cream in them with a wee bit of jam. I was addicted to sweets, chocolate, whatever. But see, you give that to me now, I just turn my nose up at it, and somebody gives me a dinner, I could only eat less than half or less than a quarter of that.
You see, though, the issue, you already have highlighted how much you love that kind of food, so it's difficult for other people as well, just like you, to turn it away. Anyway, Margaret, thank you. Bob and Bangor. Bob, go ahead.
Hello. The argument is kind of spread off in different directions, but listening to the early part of it and the man defending people's right to take sugar and right to do this and the sugar companies, basically it's all the same arguments as the tobacco company were making in the 60s. The tobacco company was poisoning us. Let's make no bones about it. The sugar that they are putting into our children is poisoning them.
You would put sugar and tobacco then, in terms of how you perceive the danger, on the same par?
Of course I'm not going to put sugar and tobacco. I'm not going to say a child smoking 20 cigarettes a day and a child having 3 spoonfuls of sugar. The bottom line is this. If a malnourished child was in a supermarket beside its parent,
yes,
visibly malnourished, social services would come in and say, there's a problem here, this child needs medical assistance. I'm sorry, the reverse is with a child that is twice the weight they're supposed to be. We are poisoning our children. We are going to tax sugar. We are going to cut down on sugar. But unfortunately, the fight is going to be with people like your earlier caller, who the food industries, who will fight to the bitter end, just like the tobacco companies did. But eventually, we're going to ban its advertising. We're going to stop pumping it into our children. We're going to stop. I mean, it's blatantly obvious it's poisoning children. It's just
okay.
The amount they're consuming is terrifying. Bob, it really is terrifying.
Okay, Bob, thank you.